And good evening. I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. And we are so glad to be here. I am kind of excited about this topic tonight because it really irritates me when government tries to censor people. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the Secretary of State's office in Oregon has purchased a program, has people working, it's AI. So they can go in and control, I'm going to say it the way I want to say it, but control speech of people who are talking about elections online. And when I first heard about this, I thought it was absolutely disgusting that this could happen in my home state. Just surprised the hell out of me. And today, a group of people who obviously are somewhat like-minded to me filed a lawsuit against the state of Oregon, the governor, the secretary of state, get this thing changed. So we got two folks involved in that lawsuit who are going to be here. If you are watching, please share this on your page right now because Oregonians need to understand you're getting screwed here. So our sponsors are Christel Family Dentistry, where your civil liberties are as important as your dental care. Dr. Michael Bratlin does not appreciate censorship. Dr. Michael Bratlin appreciates freedom. And if you're someone who wants to have a dentist that cares about the same things you do, which I think we all do, you need to check him out. Also, Matt and Carl at New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center. They're having a big Christmas special going on now. You can save money, buy a package for your family of hyperbarics. You can get massage. You can get light therapy. Matt, too, is a big supporter of civil liberties and freedom of speech. That's why he's one of our sponsors. We love Matt. So check him out in Eugene. If you've never done it or you have a family member who's never had hyperbaric, get him in there. They'll love it. You will absolutely adore this stuff. And Rains Heating and Air Conditioning out of Cresswell. Wonderful people. They also support what we do. You know, the people that don't support what I do, and I'm okay with that. Because you know what? In this day and age, you gotta be true to who you are. I was listening to a podcast today with Jordan Peterson. He was talking to a woman, and she was starting to talk about something that was a little bit sensitive on a women's issue. And she said, you know, I got to be careful because this could get me into trouble. And Jordan Peterson said something amazing. I wrote it down. He said, well, then if it's going to get you in trouble, it's probably the truth. And you guys, that's what we have to understand nowadays. You have to speak the truth. You can't keep it inside. It'll eat you alive. And if people don't start telling the truth about what is going on out there, we are in big trouble. So if there's something that's on the tip of your tongue and you think, oh, this is going to get me into trouble, it's probably the right thing to say. So here are two people who are about to get themselves into trouble. But for Ben, that's really not a new thing. That's kind of like a daily, you know.
Me? Trouble? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, your poor wife finally got her Christmas lights up. Don't even go there with me. And also,
too busy causing trouble.
And Dennis, a senator from Oregon. Also, you guys are troublemakers, aren't you? You're both on this lawsuit. I'm going to put me over here so that there. So it looks like I'm looking at you when I'm actually not, but it's where my camera is on my phone. So tell me, Dennis, why don't you, Senator, tell me what this lawsuit does. First of all, why don't you explain the problem and then we'll get into the lawsuit.
Well, Oregon's election division, you mentioned the Secretary of State and the governor. You know, the Oregon is a deep blue state, and the elections division was looking for, and we didn't actually see it until the contract was actually initiated, but they were looking for someone to provide a software suite that would disarm, quote unquote, harmful, what they call MDM information. Now, your listeners may not have heard of MDM before, but MDM is misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. So, And so now that we've got all of those bundled up, they are looking to prevent the public from spreading misinformation or disinformation or bad information, i.e. malinformation, when it comes to elections and election integrity and things like, dare you say, Trump won in a public square. That's clearly wrong. Trump didn't win, quote unquote. And therefore, what they're going to do is they're going to send your name, your account information, any tracking that they may have to the FBI, the Oregon State Police, the National Guard, the Oregon Titan Fusion Center, the National, I said National Guard already, I guess, and the U.S. Attorney's Office looking for prosecutorial action. So they're going to intimidate. You're afraid to say anything.
Unbelievable.
Like you could ask a question, did my vote count? Don't dare ask that question, because all of a sudden the U.S. Attorney's going to look to punish you with legal countermeasures.
It's a bizarre twist. So who's the determiner of the censorship? Who is the grand poobah who's going to stand and say Rick Dancer said the wrong thing? Who gets to decide that? Is there a committee?
It looks like there are no humans involved. It's a quote.
That's handy.
AI. And so, you know what, artificial intelligence, you know, there is no such thing as artificial.
I just want to ask a question. So artificial intelligence, wouldn't that describe the plaintiffs in this case? Or the people you're suing? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You both looked at me funny like I went, I'm in trouble.
Joke. You're spot on. What they're going to use this AI for, AI, if you're listening, audience can recognize this easy. AI is simply an electronic version or a computerized version of the hound dog. You show the hound dog the t-shirt, let him smell it and go fetch. And he runs through the woods and he's looking for that item. Now, when you say go fetch this and you put the t-shirt in front of his nose, there's no guilt associated with the t-shirt. There's no intent. There's no mens rea.
Right.
There's nothing associated with the t-shirt except for your identification. They have no idea whether it's malinformation, disinformation, or misinformation. It's just these words, you know. So if you speak Trump and elections in the same sentence, is it, you know, malintent? Is it an attempt to deceive? Is it an attempt to, disrupt the electoral process? Or is it just a sentence where you are expressing your own personal opinion? And then when they turn that into this firebrand of we're going to prosecute, we're going to trace and persecute, all of a sudden, well, this is a different story. When you hand government those keys, that's a dangerous arena that you're stepping into. And the state of Oregon is more than happy to put us on the line.
Well, so you're in the Senate, and so you guys knew nothing about this until it was already purchased and done.
That's correct. We only learned about it after the fact. Nobody said the Secretary of State's thinking about doing this. Governor Kotek would like to do this. What do you guys think? Should we build some legislation around it? None of that was ever part of the discussion. It's just the Secretary of State is making the claim her duty, because she's elected of her own right. Her duty is to the people who elected her. And therefore, she has the all-encompassing power to implement this program and pursue what she thinks the people, quote, want. But even if the people want it, it's a clear violation of our right to free speech.
It doesn't matter if people want that. They don't have that. That's why we're the trouble we're in. Ben, go ahead.
There's also a couple problems with the Secretary of State's assertion, because she was never elected. She was appointed by Tina Kotek when Shamia Fahey stepped down for taking bags of cash from known drug dealers who are also known to work with the cartels. So that was why Shamia Fagan stepped down. But I'll tell you,
and this, one of our Congress people too, if you want to throw her under the bus at the same
why
time.
Why not? There's plenty of them to go around. We even have Republican the House Minority Leader Vicky Brees Iverson took cash from Lamota too, and then she stepped down as well as from her leadership position. So it happens on both sides. Okay, the corruption runs deep. But when it comes down,
what concerns you?
What's that?
What concerns you about this, Ben?
What's that?
What concerns you about this?
Oh, what concerns me? Yeah, what concerns me is she wasn't elected. But what people don't understand is that this is all Biden administration federal earmarked money. So what they do is they send down to the states all these bills and whatnot that they run out of the out of the Senate or out of the House. And in these, 1,700, 2,000 page bills, there's these little line items that they can pick up. That is, if you implement this AI, the federal government will pay you this money and you will get additional funding going forward. So when the first statement from the Secretary of State's office after we called him out on this online is that, well, we're just following what the federal government is requiring of us. That was their very first statement. And they said it on Twitter. And that's the cue that this is all coming down from the Biden administration. Now, most states in their right minds around this country would say, yeah, we're not going to do that. But let me tell you a story. When we have a lawsuit that we're also involved with called Thielman v. Fagan, and it's very similar to Brown versus Board of Education, in which we're saying there's a crisis of confidence in Oregon's election system. And in Brown versus Board of Education, if you all know, that's school segregation lawsuit. It's very famous, right? Civil rights lawsuit from the 60s. But in Brown versus Board of Education, nobody, there was no evidence presented to the courts that said that there was actual discrimination or proved that there was actual discrimination in the black schools versus the white schools. The whole entire case, which went to SCOTUS and was decided victoriously in SCOTUS, was that there's a perception of discrimination, and that was enough. And we're doing the same thing with Thielman v. Fagan right now in federal court, which we're heading into SCOTUS right now. And we're saying there's a massive crisis in confidence. There's a perception that our elections are not clean, and here's why. And while I was making statements on Instagram, and I am party to this lawsuit, when I was making statements on Instagram about Thielman v. Fagan, the facts of the case, one of those facts was that Multnomah County, Oregon's largest county, okay, in the whole entire state, had removed 6 voter registrations from the voter rolls in the last 4 years. Now, more people die in Portland by lunchtime, okay?
You would think.
But in 4 years, we had 6 people removed. So this is a huge question. Well, here's what happened. At the time, the House Majority Leader, Dan Rayfield, he got me totally locked up on Instagram, where I had no more followers, no more views. My account was totally locked. They did a fact check on me through USA Today. He was, of course, quoted. And of course, the Secretary of State was also quoted saying how wrong I was and it wasn't true, even though that data came from Multnomah County. Okay, that was Multnomah County data. And now with this new AI system, this is the really cool part about it. With the new AI system, Dan Rayfield doesn't even have to make that call. Okay, it's just going to be automatic.
All they'd have to,
and Rayfield isn't going to have the finger.
So like Dennis is saying, all they have to do is say, okay, anybody that says these words, pull it and go. So Dennis, who are you suing and what is the lawsuit saying?
Well, we have a lawsuit, one that's asking for an injunction, meaning they have to stop surveilling the public. And as they have to stop surveilling the public, the real problem we face isn't what we're asking for, because the Oregon court, the federal court, and the Oregon court, we have a real problem throughout the nation. Let me go back to this point. Let me make this. If we have a Supreme Court justice who does not know how to define a woman, we all of a sudden are introducing this concept like there is no truth. There, she is what the three of us would call a woman. She has born 2 children. They're now adult children. She has been married to her husband for yay many years, and she gets in front of a microphone and says, I do not know how to define a woman. I'm not a biologist. Now, this may sound like an innocent claim, I'm not a biologist, but it's chicanery and hypocrisy at its best. There is an agenda here, and the agenda is to destroy your concept of truth, my concept of truth, and Ben's concept of this traditional value, the capitalist system, free markets, traditional family structure. All of these things are under assault. So if I make the claim that so-and-so didn't get to vote because, and you have to fill out that because clause with some sort of identity, it's identity by your voter ID or by your ethnicity or by your whatever. And all of a sudden, we see these intricacies of intersectionality collapsing upon each other, and nobody knows how to make any kind of discrete opinion about right or wrong, because we've convoluted what could be right and what could be wrong. So basically, we're going at trying to get a judgment and a immediate
injunction.
Yeah, thanks. Get an immediate injunction and stop the Secretary of State's office from putting this full thing into the next elections only 1 year from now.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? I think what I don't get is why people aren't screaming about this. All Democrats, Republicans, independents, because they can go in and say, you didn't support Palestine. And so, that you were talking about that. That's one of the dog sniff things. One of the tests. We're not going to be able to have you vote. You were a Republican 10 years ago, and now you're an independent. What people don't understand is they could really go in there and start canceling people. And so just folks that they want to win. And that should scare the hell out of people.
This is exactly what that is intended to do. They want to shut people up. And when people like me and Dennis, when we go out and we say, here's what the government's doing, we're being surveilled, this goes against American values, this goes against our civil rights, this goes against the Bill of Rights, they don't have a warrant. And they're able to surveil what we're saying and speaking so that they can literally shut us down and turn us over to the police. That's going to make the vast majority of people, not me, but the vast majority of people, close their mouth and get scared and go quiet. And that's going to prevent people from hearing things that are very, very, very important. And this is absolutely Stalinist at best. And it's going to lead us down this road where, I don't know, Rick, where do you think it's going to lead us?
Well, when I was a news guy, you'd go out and you had to do both sides of a story, and you were required by my boss that you had to go get a soundbite, even though, I will admit a lot of times, they didn't go, you'd have a timber story and you'd get, six soundbites from the environmentalist and one soundbite from a timber guy that you found on the street. I mean, that's how it was done. It wasn't fair. It was better than it was today. And if I didn't get that second bite, I'd be in trouble, but now we've gotten to this place where we find, why are people so afraid? I mean, this could get me in trouble. So it's probably the truth, right? I said that at the beginning of the show. Why are we so afraid of misinformation or disinformation or whatever that other bullshit term was that you used? Do we not believe that people are smart enough to figure out after a while or to figure out what is true and what is not true? I mean, are we that insecure as a party, whatever, that you think you can control, or power hungry, that you think you can control people? And you can. We obviously learned that during COVID. I mean, people went blind-eyed, closed their eyes and did whatever they had to, were told to do. It'll be over soon. Well, guess what? It wasn't over. I don't understand There's always been misinformation. There's always been right and wrong. There's always been truth and lies. That seems to me, the more we try to cover up, but we can't even call people liars anymore.
You have to draw a distinction here. This isn't about truth or falsehood. This is about controlling the conversation.
Exactly.
Ben just referred to it, you know, it's sort of Stalinist, and he doesn't know how accurate he is. Wendy Goldman wrote the book Inventing the Enemy, and in it she has a chapter on the gigantic linguistic machine. She's talking about political correctness in the Soviet era. I'll read just a little bit here. By 1937, this is a long time ago, by 1937, the Soviet state had reduced a vibrant multiplicity of revolutionary voices into a single narrow discourse that was prescribed by the party. She continues on saying the words and phrases delimited by the channels of discussion were analyzed, and the party-controlled political speech through its organizational network, this could be the Democrat Party today, which functioned as a vast linguistic machine for the generation and implementation of concepts, phrases, slogans, and catchwords. Political language originated in the speeches and communications from party leaders and filtered down through the party's organizational pyramid via resolutions adopted by the central committee and given to the provincial, town, district, and factory meetings. Boom! This is exactly what they're trying to do. It's got nothing to do with true or false. It's got to do with controlling the communication and only allowing these words to be spoken and never allowing those words to be spoken.
Do we know how many other states besides Oregon took this Biden, this federal money, and did the same thing with this AI system? Do we know?
I'll bet you $500, Rick, that California did as well. At least California. Maybe New Mexico.
But we don't know for sure, huh?
We don't know.
You know, I was just on TikTok the other day. I was talking. I did a little thing in my car, you know, verbal thing, and it was about the situation with Palestine and Israel. An hour later, I looked on there, and TikTok muted it. Like, now I was smart enough to put closed caption on it, so still everything was still there, but they muted it and said it didn't live up to their community guidelines. And I thought, I wasn't even being mean. I was just saying, here's my position, blah, blah, blah. And if, you know, and I, with Facebook, I used to, they already censor like you wouldn't believe. And people, my Democrat friends, no, they don't. Well, so I tried for 2 months. I never used Joe Biden's name. I just called him Uncle Joe. I had a different name for everything. So nothing was pandemic. It was the dark time, you know, all that kind of stuff. My numbers shot up 100,000 in 2 months when I started changing my language and went around it. And then I just said, F you. And I started putting it back, and then I went back, and I don't care. And I don't pay Facebook anymore to do anything. So it is scary. And if people, what makes me kind of concerned is I have a lot of really great friends on the D side, and they seem to just turn a blind eye to this stuff because they don't, it's like, I don't think it's that they don't care. I think they care about freedom of speech, or they're starting to. I think that my own opinion, which could get me in trouble because it's the truth, I think Donald Trump scared them so much, and they're so fear-based about him that they think it's okay to step over these limits because you have to do that to protect people that don't know any better. And I just think that's so arrogant and so off-base and so un-American.
Yeah, it's a total lie. What you see at the federal level with Republicans and Democrats who are together in preventing Trump from taking office or being on ballots is the same thing you see in Oregon. Because in all reality, this isn't about Republicans and Democrats anymore. We're past that. We're at a very critical stage in our nation's history. This 2024 election is going to be one of the top one, two, or three most historic elections in our nation's history. And we see the same thing in Oregon with the leadership at the top. It's not about R's and D's. It is about progressive ideology versus libertarian ideology. And we have Republicans at the very top in Oregon who are progressives. And we have Democrats at the very top in Oregon who are progressives. And we have Democrats on the ground and Democrats at, in Salem who are also libertarians. And we have Republicans on the ground and in Salem that are libertarians, like Dennis. And the difference is between they're not protecting you from something you don't believe can hurt, you don't know can hurt you. They're protecting themselves from keeping their power and their money, regardless of what that power and money equates to.
That is an interesting, Ben, you know, I tease you a lot, but that is pretty profound of you, actually. I had not put the libertarian into that because, I mean, really that's, you know, I'm a terrible Republican. I think they loved me when I ran. That's all we got. Rick Dancer, I waited until the day before to make sure nobody else would get in so I could win a primary. I have a little certificate that says I won the primary. It's because I didn't have to run. But, you know, it's like, hey, but yeah, it's like a good old fashioned freedom of speech. And I just can't believe how quickly people will give it up out of fear.
It's and like, we have, you know, they will. And we had a big measure that was a de facto gun ban last election cycle called Measure 114. And it was a statewide de facto gun ban. And it passed by a 0.25%. And we know that we're about 300,000 registrations, Republican registrations down to Democrat registrations. So that tells you that there are a lot of Democrat voters who believe in the Second Amendment. And if they believe in the Second Amendment, they believe in the First Amendment too. And so the majority here is, and I don't necessarily believe the outcome of those elections, but you know, that's why we're here.
So do you mean I'm actually Secretary of State now, and you guys are suing me?
I broke up what you said. I'm getting choppy.
Oh, I said, so if the election is, you're saying I don't believe that they're done fairly. So I had a friend call me up one day when all that was coming out, and he goes, what if you really won? I said, then God is good, because he kept me from having that job. So Dennis, your big, what's the next process in this whole thing with the suit?
Well, we filed the motion for a preliminary injunction, and the court will weigh the evidence. Ben, you may know the timelines. It's they get 14 days, and then they'll respond, and we have 7 days to respond to their response, and then a judge will opine on it and decide. Actually have oral arguments and then decide a preliminary injunction is appropriate, and they'll stop everything dead in its tracks until they follow the lawsuit all the way through. The injunction just says, time, you guys got to stop doing what you're doing. There's harm here. These individuals, these communities, these counties will get harmed. You got to put on the brakes. We'll wait our turn and figure out whether this is real or false or whatever, and then move forward from a legal perspective. And if we fail there, it certainly will get hurt. It will run it all the way to SCOTUS. I mean, what's interesting about what Ben just highlighted is our government is instituted among men. We know this, right? To protect our individual inalienable rights that come far before government ever came onto the scene. You right. had your human dignity and your natural rights long before there was ever anybody, quote, representing you at your state capitol. Those people are at the state capitol because you gave them permission to exactly. represent a limited number of things, like maybe water and fire and sewer or whatever, but you didn't give them the freedom to take away your voice, to strip right. you of your Second Amendment rights, to take away your wallet from you before you ever even open it up, which is what happens when you get your payroll stub. It's like, wait, where'd my yeah. earnings go? Oh, you had to give to the you know, to the contract before we could let you open your pay stub.
You had to pay. You had to pay for everybody else that's involved in a union's in health insurance, even though you can't afford your own. that and you're putting more money into their retirement than you are your own retirement. But it's all fair. Well,
but it's okay though, because then you'll be on a government program and they'll pick up your food bill through a debit card, and they'll pick up your housing, and they'll pick up your insurance, your health insurance, and they'll on and on it goes. And now right. They're happy. They don't need independent people who believe they have inalienable natural rights. They want people who are entirely dependent and bow their heads and say, "Yes, ma'am, tell me what you'd like me to do today." And that's what they're used to. And so Ben and I and a dozen others are part of this lawsuit fighting against this inconsistent reason and the confusion that they're propagating through our culture. It's really dangerous stuff. And we need to wake the people up.
It's unbelievable because but the way, Ben, when you're putting it that way, you have people like me and us who, my voice is the most important thing, and that's connected directly to my freedom. And nobody gets to take that away from me. I lost business because of it. I lost money. There's a cost when you stand up for what you believe in. And then you got these people who pretend they're being compassionate. And when we go to any psych therapist person, to give people everything they need is not going to change their lives. And so they're harboring these people. So there's the split in culture. And this sounds better over here on the left. And I don't mean just the left, but I mean this idea sounds better because it sounds so caring and concerning. And the other one sounds so harsh. You're making people be accountable for what they do and stuff. It really is scary. So both of you going into 2024 in Oregon, I have my concerns here in Montana, even though we're like a red state. My income, my taxes on my property, because so many people like me are moving here, doubled. I mean, it went up actually 53%, but went from 2,000 to 4,000. And there's people that quadrupled. And we're all mad and we're making comments and not very popular with the county commissioners where I live.
Montana and Oregon look exactly the same. It is a sea of red. It is a sea of rural America, conservatives, forest, agriculture, beef production, cattle production, forestry, a sea of red. And then there's this blue island of cultural
loud.
Demise.
Of hell. It's a blue island of hell, Dennis.
Well, yeah, and there's a blue island in Portland, in Eugene, in Salem, in Missoula,
Bozeman.
In Bozeman. But the rest of the state is, here we go. This is a beautiful place to live and thrive and flourish with your wife and family and kids. And then the Democrats get involved and they want to now control you. They want you to follow their language rules. And if you don't follow their language rules, they'll put the AI machine and have it chase you down into the corner until you don't know what word to say next, because they're all illegal. This is 1984. Slavery is freedom? Yeah, really. Yeah.
Did you guys hear about the doctor in Lebanon or Stockholm? Who I'm trying to get her on my show right now. I have friends. I think we're going to get her, but she was apparently fired. This is what I've heard. And it was on Lars too, I guess, but fired. And I guess because she didn't use the kid's personal pronouns, she's a doctor, and it happened right there in Oregon. Now
there's a lawsuit for you.
And so we're trying to get her on the show. I just had Kevin Mannix on last week talking about their move, right now to try to get the measure 110, the legalization, decriminalization of drugs overturned. I mean, what from both of you, I'll just finish it this way. So what is your hope for Oregon when it seems so sometimes scattered and hopeless for people? I mean, I think, don't take it on a national scope. I just want you guys, because you're serving in Oregon, Ben as a troublemaker and Dennis as a senator
Here's what's interesting is the public has to learn to focus on truth. Because, you know, remember it was the postmodernists, the academics who decided there is no objective truth. You've got your truth. I've got my truth. We're all in this multicultural melee and we'll figure this out and it'll be a beautiful place. It turns out it's a lie. There is not a beautiful place without objective truth. And it's this broken worldview that is sponsoring the cultural, you know, idea that homelessness is a good thing. So everyone goes homeless. And then we say, oh, homelessness is a bad thing. And then drugs are a good thing. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, drugs are a bad thing. And crime is a good thing. Let them out. In Portland, when Antifa was burning downtown Portland, they arrested 468 Antifa arsonist criminals, window breakers, rioters. All of them got set clean scot-free.
Well, so, it was a peaceful protest, Dennis. I mean, you know, it was just a peaceful protest.
Mostly, you're right, mostly.
So, peaceful protest.
So the broken windows aren't that bad. Broken windows are good.
I paid for those windows. That's a federal building.
The arson isn't that bad. It was a federal building. So it's this truth that keeps getting moved around. And the left, the Democrats in particular, have given up on truth, logic, reason, math, probability. They are running the ship with an errant ideology, and this errant ideology is destroying our state. So what I'm fighting for is to get rid of this cultural relativism and hypocrisy, and we have to argue for truth. 2 + 2 = 4, regardless of what you read in 1984, which should have scared the pants off you. It is not 5. It will never be 5. It will always be 4.
Well, and remember during the pandemic, like really early on, when all those protests were going on and the rest of us were told to stay home and put on a mask and hide from the world. And yet the protesters, what I didn't understand about the virus was apparently, I'll probably get taken down for this. Apparently, it has an ideology. And so if you worship and protest the right ideological idea, you're immune and you don't have to wear a mask. But for the rest of us, we had to wear a mask while these rioters were out tearing down the streets, not wearing masks. That makes total sense to me.
Right.
That's the hypocrisy.
And with regard to the virus thing, my MailChimp account, you know, got shut down a couple of days, and their notice to me was our automated abuse prevention system, very similar to what the Secretary of State is imagining AI can do for her. Our automated abuse prevention system, Omnivore, there's a clever name for you, has detected an action or content that may be in violation of our acceptable use policy. You're out of business. And this is completely contrary to what you and I would consider free speech.
Right. Ben, you ended up. What's your hope for Oregon in 2024?
Well, we got a lot of hope. You know, I'm going to tell you this right now. There is a grassroots revolution occurring in the state of Oregon right now as we enter into the Republican primary, and it's happening on both sides, okay? Not only is a group called the Republican Unity Caucus, who's uniting with the political class and the grassroots class, the county party class, the PCP class, to select new leadership at the very top at the legislative level. There's also a second group called People for Portland that has a big group going on the liberal side. And this is why I'm talking about the progressive versus the libertarian. And it's beyond party lines, okay? There's libertarians and progressives on both sides. And this is about liberty versus communism. And progressivism is a great way to cover for communism, but that's what it is. And that's a spade, all right? I'm calling a spade a spade. But there's a massive massive grassroots revolution occurring right now in the state of Oregon. And I think that the people who are well organized and well led are going to make massive change going into May and massive change going into the general election in 2024. And I believe that the libertarians are going to take the House of Representatives in the state of Oregon in 2024. And we're going to start having some power and some people with the balls to stand up to this progressive machine. And I am very, very optimistic and hopeful. I can see it in the works right now.
Well, you know what I think the people. Go ahead, Dennis. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So sorry, Rick. I was just going to jump in. Ben uses the phrase progressive, use the phrase communist, use the phrase socialist, that kind of thing. Ludwig von Mises in 48 wrote his book Socialism. In his book Socialism, it's a great read. He says, I refuse to call them socialist, communist, democratic socialists, progressives, because what they really are is destructionists. Huh. If they don't believe in the in working to create capital for the future investment into your own business or into the public good or to somewhere, then it's an unsustainable concept. You cannot run a business, pay your employees, buy the products, produce something without profit motive. Because without the profit motive, you never have the ability to accumulate capital and reinvest. So you'll never get rid of the shovel to buy a backhoe. You'll always be digging holes with shovels. And you have to, at some point, charge enough for the hand labor that you can save enough dollars to go buy a backhoe and invest in a backhoe. Then you can now also help pay for that backhoe by renting it out, by renting your skill out as a driver, operator, by doing other jobs other than your own. And all of this is incorporated in the idea of a free market principle where your job, your work, your effort has value that people are willing to pay for. The destructionists in our society, the progressives just want to build Cheverton in Portland Descent describes a nonprofit that's building 146 beds of a homeless new apartment structure in downtown Portland. That nonprofit got $46 million in revenue, distributed $7 million for homeless services, and paid their own staff $27 million in salary and benefits. And now we see this nonprofit, you know, engineering where the social progressives are really just buttering their own bread and leaving the taxpayer out on the line.
The corruption would be a great story, but nobody would do it because there's some really decent organizations out there. But you know, how many organizations in our state, in your state, and mine too, are called nonprofits, but they have big businesses, and homelessness would, if it went away, they'd lose a lot of money and a lot of jobs and a lot. I mean, you know, and people go, oh, that's not true about such and such an agency. I always support them. Well, the bottom line is, with that homeless, they don't have a job. And maybe we ought to be teaching people how to fish rather than giving them fish. And, you know, in Oregon, they wonder why they have so many people coming there. In Montana, the first thing people ask me is, did they really decriminalize hard drugs in Oregon? They can't believe it. They think we're just freaking idiots. Yeah. And then they go, and then they say, I said, yeah. And then they go, well, then why would they ask why they have so many homeless people? I said, precisely. They've created Club Med for anybody who's transient or a drug addict to come to Oregon, because you can get food, clothing, shelter, Medicaid, Medicare, whatever you need. You don't need anything. You don't have to do anything. And the rest of us are working to pay for that. And
I think people are everyone in Oregon knows why we have a huge homeless crisis. It's the grifting politicians that keep going, why? Why? I don't know why. We need more money.
Because they have to admit that they did. They really messed up.
We can't figure it out.
Yeah, and
we
it's,
all figured it
you
out.
Know, we have to be careful. This is a left-run state. These are leftists. These are the destructionists because they do not believe in the traditional value of getting up in the morning and going to work and earning a paycheck and supporting your wife and kids and family and home and that kind of thing that we grew up with. This is why we are here, is because our parents, and I'm not saying everybody's parent. My two parents were alcoholics. And my brother died from a drug overdose, and he's 5 years older than I am. So this is tragedy on all fours. You know, we are walking in a sea of tragedy. But the point is, you have to believe in something and you have to set your goals on something. And what I'm suggesting is there is a spiritual and moral truth that we need to learn as a culture. And without that, you're just helpless. What do? You rely on something else.
Yeah. You guys, thank you so much for coming on and just having this conversation. And thanks for having the guts to take this thing to the courts, because even though many of those people were appointed by former Governor Kate Brown, we will be praying that they will have some justice in their heart somewhere to look at what's right and what's wrong. And my real hope is that Oregonians stand up. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it is. Stand up for what's right. You know, I mean, based your state, and I know some of you are going to write me hate mail, that's fine, but you based your state on how you feel, if it makes you feel good. Well, that's selfish. That's how you feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. You've got people suffering on the streets of Portland, Eugene, Salem, suffering, and you're letting them do it, and you're creating laws that make it more advantageous for them to do it, and calling it compassion. That's bullshit. Right. That's not compassion. Compassion is giving people the ability to live for themselves, to have the ability to work, to feel good about who they are. And I'm not just speaking. I've got so many friends who are former felons, and that they're all doing well because somebody stopped them. Yes, Kate Brown, somebody put them in jail and left them there to serve their time, and then they found they need to find that they were valuable human beings. So anyway, I thank you guys for doing this. Even though I left your state, I still stand back. It's my home. That's where I started my life. And I pray every day that something will happen to make it a great place again, because it's beautiful. The people are wonderful. It's an amazing place. But unfortunately, what I like to call, Dennis, what you call destructionists, which I like that term, I may adopt it, but I've been calling them the regressives, because there's nothing progressive. Yeah. There's nothing that progresses in the state of Oregon when you do stuff like that. It is regressed into a place where now you need destructionists, real destructionists, to come in and start over again.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for your time.
Rick, you may want to put, I put my comments, what I read from the chapter of Wendy Goldman's book, Inventing the Enemy. I put that in the private chat window. I thought that would go to you. And I put in a link to the Portland Dissent Substack article. I couldn't get into comments because I didn't log into YouTube in time before we started.
Okay, I'll look for them. And if you guys go into the comments on any of the pages, if you want to put your website or how people get involved, go for it. Okay.
You bet.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks, Ben. Good seeing you both.
Thank you both.
See ya. So again, I'm just going to give you one last pitch. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just, I have to do this because I love my Oregon, but come on, people. I mean, real. You have to start looking at right and wrong. You have to. I mean, they've proven, it's been proven what was done didn't work. They've destroyed Portland, downtown Portland, and people can tell me, oh, no, it's fine. It's not fine. I just was there a few months ago. It's not fine. It can be fine. It can't come back. Grow a pair. I mean, get yourself to a place where you can stand back and say, why are we passing measures? Why do these crazy measures come to Oregon first? because they know that you're going to pass it because you are very compassionate people. You got to be compassionate. You also have to think with your head, not just your heart. God gave you a head and a heart. So you take the two, you put them together, and you come up with an answer, not just here. And they want you to think from here because then you'll do what they want them to do. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. You can call me that. I really don't care. I'm a guy who worked in television news, and when I smell shit, I call it what it is. Shit. Good night.